Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Javier, I'm a little surprised Damian Priest took the pin in the main event that we just watched a few minutes ago. With Damian Priest's impressive performance and momentum after the Bad Bunny match and just doing a good job with that situation, and then the way they presented things earlier in the show, I was thinking, maybe we're building up the Priest-Seth. Does Priest taking the pin make it more or less likely in your view that that's the direction they're going in? Were you surprised that that it was him and not Finn Balor who took the fall?
Yeah, I was surprised. I was definitely surprised by that because much for the reasons that you said, because like everybody reading online, a lot of articles about how WWE's high on Priest and they see him as a top level guy now and all that stuff, and then he takes the pin today. I mean, ultimately, some of that stuff just doesn't matter. You know, he could be like, "Oh, I'm upset at this," and then like attack Rollins in the back and then immediately get thrust in there. It could also be that maybe they're going to give Balor a run first and then, you know, just to, you know, have a match for, say, Money in the Bank and then set up Priest for the bigger match at SummerSlam or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think of Priest at this point and how he's doing? Does he seem to have a little extra... it's such a cliche, like spring in his step. Like, is he coming across like, okay, I think I kind of have earned my spot now? Because I see that a little bit, but there's part of me that thinks it's more like confirmation bias or something. Like, well, now that we think he's gotten the approval of management or, you know, the endorsement and of Paul Levesque and that's the thing, then we're just looking for reasons to think that he does seem more confident. But for a while, it just seemed like he always had to sort of, I don't know. Anytime he tried to portray himself as like a top-tier guy, something got in the way of – and it's intangible. That's a thing with him. It's intangible. I remember Todd Martin saying a few years ago, like, typically when people on the indie scene don't make it to a main event level and then they come to WWE, it's not like then they become main eventers in WWE. Like, if you don't end up being the centerpiece of wherever you are earlier in your career, it doesn't really happen later. And Priest wasn't a top guy as Punishment Martinez in ROH in the way that others in ROH have been over the years. So your take on what you've seen in Priest so far, and what would you do if you were, you know, having creative input in WWE? Would you go, yeah, let's go with this guy. There's something there right now that wasn't there maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like he should be your perennial top guy kind of, you know, place. More like have him essentially, you know, but have him in the rotation kind of guy. That's where I am with him. I think in a lot of cases, just that you have to wait for a person to kind of grow on you. Not only he has to grow a little bit more into the role, but you know, the person has to grow on you too. You know, and I think like early on, a lot of the issues was that sometimes he felt like he was trying too hard. And now it doesn't feel like that. It feels like he's just being, I think that goes a lot for a lot of wrestlers. Cause I think, you know, Austin Theory comes up a lot, and I think Austin Theory's still in the phase of like it feels like he's trying, you know. And you know, once things click and people get used to him, and you know, people are gonna, and it's gonna change for him, just like it's changed for Priest. So I do think that he has like a, you know, more to give. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you with Finn Balor? What if they decide to make Finn Balor a Seth challenger before Priest, and that's why they did the finish that they did tonight? Is that work?
Well, I mean, the thing about Finn Balor kind of feels like he is coasting on the momentum that he's had, you know, mostly from NXT, to be honest. He hadn't really done, you know, and the promise that was when he won he was the first ever Universal Champion. But there is stuff that you can mine there because of, you know, it was Seth Rollins who took out Finn Balor, you know, way back in the day. So, you know, they've gone back to that and they could continue going back to that. I don't think it's going to be like a major program. The problem is, I mean, the biggest problem with Seth Rollins as the champions, I look around, I'm like, who's there? who are
That's
champions? Yeah. So I'm like, I mean, really, like Bronson Reed, you know, you know, that I can see like true threats that you could build like a big up to something big is Bronson Reed and Gunther. I'm obviously leaving out Cody because, you know, he's going to be involved in other stuff. But you know, I those are the only two big ones. I mean, there are other people around like that could be like for your non big four or five pay-per-views. You know, like I think that, that Balor would be one, you know, a good one for that. And maybe Shinsuke, you know, babyface aside, that those sort of wrestlers, I think he could, you know, have like, you know, just to pad the record, so to speak. And it definitely feels like they're going more for a, you know, high work rate kind of, you know, champion, obviously, because you have Seth Rollins and you had this match, which I thought it was a pretty good match, the, you know, with the people involved in some neat spots. So I think that's kind of what, you know, they're going to build up with, some, you know, with a couple guys before they start hitting some big ones. But they need to start building, you know, interest, because, I mean, it's kind of that's the it's going to be the secondary belt, so.
Yeah, I did, by the way, enjoy just a small thing they did here where it looked like Dominic and Priest were going to wrestle, and then Balor blindside Seth, you know, at the start of the match. I thought that was just sort of a clever little thing that they did, and it did seem like, well, maybe they are building up to Balor, Seth, by having him have that moment, and then it also plays into Dominic, you know, being the guy who fans really want to see get beat up, and it's teased, but then it gets taken away.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they kept Dominic away, I'm sure he'll get a shot at some point in some way, shape, or form, just to like drive us nuts. Probably on TV, most likely. But that should be fun to see the crowd reaction for that.
Yes, definitely. Okay, let's pause, introduce ourselves, and then give out the phone numbers and email, and get to some phone calls here on a holiday edition of the show, both Raw and this show. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, May 29th. 2023, and I'm Wade Keller, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter, which predated the internet, in fact, chronicling the wrestling industry for 35-plus years, and also the website pwtorch.com, launched in 1999, and then the host of various podcasts, including this, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, along with the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcasts, which are more regular podcasts as opposed to live call-in shows following Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Those are two separate feeds, so if you're new to this show, be sure to check out our Blue Logo show, too, for our main weekly flagship, and then some fun flashbacks and interviews. That is, search Wade Keller on your podcast app, and you'll see the Red Logo show, this one, and a Blue Logo show that looks about the same. Subscribe to both, and then while you're at it, search PW Torch and subscribe to the PW Torch Daily Cast, a different show every day of the week with a different theme, different host, different focus. And then you'll also see a black and gray logo show up that's called PW Torch VIP. That gives you free samples of our PW Torch VIP podcasts, and also allows you to upgrade within the Apple podcast app, if that's what you use, using your Apple account to unlock all of our VIP podcasts, like The Fix with Todd Martin, Everything with Rich and Wade, the post pay-per-view roundtables, which we did two of this weekend, following Night of Champions and Double or Nothing, and so much more. Shows I'm part of and many shows that I'm not. You can find out full details on VIP membership at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice you hear on the show is Javier Machado. He is a PW Torch contributor. He wrote previews, primers for both of the major events this weekend on the aforementioned website, pwtorch.com. Javier, how's it going? Besides what you said off air, that might have spoiled something for me that I wanted to maybe watch later, but we won't make you feel too guilty about that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're the worst.
You are. You're the one who did it.
Look, I'm sorry. I apologize, but, you know. Okay.
Do you want to know what happened in Succession?
Hey, Radican ruined Best of Super Juniors, which I'm trying to catch up on so I can be current for when this thing comes out. And I cannot believe that Master Wado won the Best of Super Juniors.
I was going to watch right after this? No,
I'm kidding.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I know you're kidding.
I couldn't read this.
I can't believe, for people who don't know, it's as if R-Truth is the one who dethroned Roman Reigns. That's like the equivalent. But yeah.
Cool. Well, welcome to the coast here. Good to have you here.
Oh, yeah, always good to join you, and happy Memorial Day.
Yes. Thanks to everybody who has served our country and defended it honorably, and I thought WWE did a nice job with a couple of video packages on tonight's Raw. You know, Raw falls on Mondays, so we get Martin Luther King videos, Memorial Day videos, you know, when we celebrate certain holidays on Mondays, which is, you know, dumb so people can have three-day weekends attached to the holidays, but it also does give us a chance through wrestling to be reminded of why some of these holidays exist, and certainly good reason for it. So hopefully we all took some time to appreciate our military, but also not just do it one day a year. Okay, so we're here to talk Raw, though, and you are invited to join us. If you're live streaming the show, you can give us a call. If you don't know how to live stream the show, by the way, it is easy. You go to pwtorch.com during Raw, Dynamite, or SmackDown, and at the top and bottom of the report, I include the information in my TV report covering the show, in the Keller's TV reports. So go there, and you can click on the link to stream the show. You can also call in the number that's provided there and also email the show if you can't listen live but still want to be part of the show by contributing your thoughts or questions. So that is a way to do it. If you are live streaming tonight, oh, and by the way, we also put that information on Twitter, at PWTorch, if that's easier for you. And you can also just go to WadeKellerPostShow.com and navigate to the live stream. So lots of ways to find us. We start about 5 minutes after Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we'll be doing that Saturdays also for the new AEW Collision show. So well, I don't know how sustainable it is. We'll figure it out, but we'll certainly be doing the first show, and then we'll figure out a schedule from there, depending on, you know, a variety of things. People have been asking, so obviously we're going to at least cover the first show and probably everything thereafter, and I'll just give up on having a life. But it'll be fun. I'm excited. So if you are listening live tonight and you want to join us, the number is 347-215-8558. I'll say that slower. 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That will flag you on our switchboard so that we know you want to be on the show. You have to push 1. You can also email us at WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. All right, so let's get to it. Let's start talking more about Raw. We can talk about the main event and Seth as champion and how they featured him. I certainly want to get into that. We have Money in the Bank qualifiers, some promos, a Cody promo setting up a rematch, a rubber match of sorts with Brock Lesnar. A lot more to talk about, but we'll let callers lead the way. And we're going to go with pardon the phrase, but a veteran caller in Ian from Tennessee. Ian, always good to hear from you. It's not as often as it was, you know, a decade ago, but always good to hear your voice. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, so my question firstly was, where do you think they go with Sammy and Kevin after that big win at Night of Champions? Who do you see as their next challengers for the Undisputed Tag Titles?
They're trying to rebuild Imperium. Is that working, Javier? Like, does a win over Gable and Otis help? I mean, it's not a real deep depth chart, and they haven't protected – they protect Gunther, but not the other two in Imperium. What do you think?
Well, I mean, people have short memories, so I think that with maybe one more win or stuff, they could do it. I don't think it's going to, like, headline any pay-per-views or anything. I did have the thought that, you know, now that stuff with the – Bloodline is supposedly over, they really need to build up that tag division, because you know, you had Indus Sheer come out, but it's like you have Indus Sheer, you have Alpha Academy, which is, you know, what had been used to, you know, jobbers for a while, War Machine, Viking Raiders, you know, they are kind of like just there. So they do have work to do. I think they're just going to use Imperium as a stopgap for the time being. Plus, you also have Gunther, who looks like he's going to be feuding with Matt Riddle, and you know, there's a little bit of an alliance between KO and them. So I think those three, you know, people are going to be intertwined for a little bit. While I think they'll end up on the other side, build up into Sheer, who we got to see in a squash match tonight. While I don't know what, you know, it looks like Otis and Gable are going to be dealing with Viking Raiders. So at least there are some, you know, it seems like there are things in motion to rebuild it, but it's going to take time. It's not going to be like something that's going to happen overnight. So,
Javier, just real quick before we go back to Ian, what do you think of the presentation of Indashir so far? They're getting the OMAS treatment with the down low camera aiming up at them, and they're accentuating their size.
I mean, this is, you know, a opinion. That kind of team never really has been something that has worked for me, because I think it's actually kind of like the smaller, lighter guys than the big monsters. Occasionally they're fine. It takes a while for me to warm up to them, so maybe, you know, because it took me a while to warm up to NXT team Authors of Pain. You know, so Authors of Pain I ended up really liking a lot. Hopefully, you know, it'll work out. I do love Jinder Mahal's look, also the fact that he's the manager, we're not going to see him wrestle too much.
Right.
that's also a bonus. But he looks cool. But the monster, you know, just, you know, the monster kind, that kind of monster tag team, and you have it in them and Viking Raiders. Normally I'd be like super pumped for a Viking Raiders into Shear kind of confrontation, you know, having the two monster teams meet. But that's the thing, that these particularly Viking Raiders, they still need more work, and the tag team needs to get more, the tag team division needs to get more exciting before I really, you know, really, you know, put my heart and, into it.
Yep. All right, Ian, back to you.
Yeah, so I did hear that Tommaso Ciampa was supposedly coming back and they were going to reform the DIY. I didn't know if you guys thought that was a possibility of them coming back and kind of pulling like a Hardy Boys in AEW, just going right after the tag titles.
Javier, how'd you feel about that? That goes a little bit against the setup with the Way, but I'm not against that, because, I mean, there's some talent there, and it's being underutilized. And I like Ciampa a lot. I'd like to see him get a chance to, one, shine in front of a larger audience before his career's over, and also just, you know, earn some money. There's so many people of his generation who are cashing in right now, and he's just had so many setbacks and has been so resilient. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, in canon, we know that that Gargano has teased, you know, basically teased, you know, somebody coming in, which, you know, we assume is Tommaso Ciampa, in canon. And then and outside of what you, you know, if you read reports and stuff, that Triple H wants to give them a hard push, give the Way overall a hard push. And we saw a little bit of that today with Candice LeRae getting a promo treatment, you know, video treatment.
That's right, yeah.
She is.
Yep.
So, you know, you know, so I think they're, you know, because I think, you know, it makes sense. They were kind of like a, on NXT, for the people who didn't watch, they were kind of like a sitcom group almost, because it was multiple members, because it was Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, and Austin Theory, and then Dexter Lumis was also involved in that. And so, like, you know, there was a lot of, like, entertaining, well, I mean, your mileage may vary, but it was a lot of entertaining interplay between all of them. And if they're going to push them hard, I would assume that you're going to see a reunification of DIY, and I would assume that they'd probably be wrestling one of the monster teams with either the Viking Raiders or Indashir early on. You know, and see where they go from there. But yeah, as long as they could stay healthy, I would like it if we could get like something approximating what we saw as DIY, because that was a super exciting, you know, time in NXT where you had, like, you know, great rest, you know, some great matches in the tag team division. I think it's like, you know, I obviously don't have the same breadth of wrestling knowledge as Wade does, but I think for me that was like probably my favorite tag team era of the stuff I've been exposed to.
Very good, Ian. Back to you. Can react to that or something else?
So I was more surprised that desperately surprised that Cody Rhodes calling out Brock Lesnar. Do you guys see them skipping Money in the Bank and just setting up something for SummerSlam, or where do you see this rivalry going in the future?
Yeah, I was thinking about that during the promo, and I haven't, like, just, you know, kind of mapped out the pros and cons of the pacing and the calendar in terms of waiting to SummerSlam. But if the rubber match, so to speak, is that Money in the Bank, then what is there for Cody that makes sense at SummerSlam if part of the reason for the Lesnar feud is to divert Cody from talking about the world title or the world titles? Javier, what do you think about the timing of that third match? And comment also just on the Cody promo tonight, what you thought of the presentation.
I think it's going to end up being WrestleMania. I think the third match will be at SummerSlam, and it'll likely be a Hell in a Cell match, since that was the match where he wrestled with his torn pack against Seth Rollins. And I could totally believe Cody wanting to make Hell in a Cell like his match. So I guess, that's kind of what I'm thinking for SummerSlam. As far as Money in the Bank, they have mentioned about him being in the match, and it could be that just, Brock Lesnar does not show up, so he's in the match, and Brock Lesnar is the one who takes him out of Money in the Bank, and then, costing him a chance at a contract, giving him more reason to go after Brock Lesnar. And in terms of, his speech was kind of like, it did not. I'm waiting for the moment, Wade. I'm waiting for the moment where he where he takes takes things a little bit too far. But it was fine. And I'm glad that I like the way that he calls, he's calling out Brock Lesnar, which is something that, nobody calls out Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar finds you, and he's saying, no, I want him. And playing psychologically into the Brock Lesnar character, which is like, were you satisfied with that? I know you're not satisfied with that. So
right.
Here I am again. So yeah, I dig that. The broken arm is a bit much. So
you can like Cody's delivery, you can appreciate the things about him that definitely justify the push he's getting, the money he's getting, how much WWE's leaning on him, and the crowd responses that he has earned, that he deserves. And at the same time, be on edge that he's going to do something, take things too far, or say something that just, it's a little much. I do not think tapping out should ever be framed by anyone who doesn't tap out and passes out. I don't think that should be used, even if it serves the purpose in the moment, which it did here. I don't think you should demonize the idea that tapping out is honorable. And I wish that Cody or, whoever worked with him on the promo too, to come up with the wording and the bullet points had said, there's nothing dishonorable about tapping out. It makes sense. It's actually counterproductive to one's career to not tap out. But with Brock, it was something different. I just couldn't do it. Or here's why I'm different. Just include something about never look down on anyone for tapping out, because it is the smart thing to do. I'm not always the smartest guy, but here's why I refused. I wish that was part of it, because they worked so hard to take away the shame of tap outs. And I thought Cody, and this has happened a time or two before in recent years, where a wrestler tries to put themselves over for not tapping out without protecting those who do, who have, and who still will. What do you think, Javier?
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but like, people can't, it's a thing that's used, constantly in AEW, WWE, where, the heel tapped out and people chant, "You tapped out."
That's true. Yeah.
So, when you watch, even when a babyface taps out, it's because somebody did something illegal that hurt a body part, leaving it to a position where they can't tap out. I do agree that you don't want to like hammer it home so hard that it is, dishonorable, but wrestling is also, people, super healing powers, wrestlers have super healing powers. So like, if I'm looking from the vantage point of like, in MMA, you're going to tap out because then they're going to break your arm. But if you watch MMA, it's like, you know, immediately when you know you're in trouble, you're immediately tapping out because for that reason. While it's like the exact opposite in wrestling where, you know, you're like, you're about to pass out and then you get that jolt of energy and you come back out. It's more dramatic. So I understand what you're saying, but I'm like, I'm less hardcore on that. I don't think, you know, don't want to super reinforce it. It made sense for what he was trying to tell in this case, but you know, you don't want like everybody, you know, talking about it openly like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fine line. I you're right. You're completely right that, you know, trying to humiliate fans chanting, you tapped out at heel, but they're doing it because the heel sells it. Like, you know, if the heel denies they tapped out or are, you know, trying to even not to not but ignore it, the fans are there to remind them of it. But having a baby face like Cody just go, you know, I'm better than those people who tap out. And it's not that wrestling has a ton of, like, you know, even Steven, two guys on the same place on the roster where a babyface taps out clean to a heel. And it's, you know, then they tell the story that it's honorable. It's not really a something that is vital to protect. But it's still, I still just think it's easy for Cody to insert. You know what? There's times it's sensible to tap out, and I'm not always sensible. Sometimes my heart gets in the way of logic or something like that. And then it does just, you know, takes away the stigma the next time a producer tells a babyface wrestler, oh, by the way, we want you to tap out in this match.
Yeah, and you could have probably gotten a little bit more that I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, and particularly since that's how he ended it. He said, you know, because he ended it, you're the beast, but you couldn't make me tap out. You know, particularly since that's the way he ended it. Yeah, I mean, you know, you could have, you know, had more in that and you know, added that because I think that would have added even a little bit more oomph to it.
Yeah, and Dusty, you know, would do that. He'd lose to Ric Flair back in the day. You know, the Rhodes connection here with Cody's father. Dusty would pass out from the figure four, shoulders would be down, and the ref would count three because he was in so much pain, but he refused to give up that he would sort of pass out or lose focus as the referee counted his shoulders down on his back. Now, you can't do that in a Kimura, but, you know, a figure four is an easy way to just kind of sort of pass out or lose your sense of things and get pinned. But, you know...
That might be also why I'm biased, because that's actually one of my earliest wrestling memories is watching Dusty passing out in the figure four.
Yeah, and at the time, because, you know, Dusty's beloved now, but, you know, I lived through in real time that era of hardcore fans pre-internet, but, you know, through the newsletters, it was sort of seen as, come on, Dusty, what a big ego. Just you know, just give up or get pinned, but don't. Like pass out from the pain. It was like seen as an ego move by Dusty when it's like, is it really, it's sort of like how countouts work. Like, why is it that much easier to lose by countout or not easier, but like people want to get pinned. So they'll get counted out. It's like, well, you can't answer a 10 count because your opponent beat you up so badly. Why is that less damning or embarrassing than having your shoulders pinned to the mat for 3 seconds either? So there's not always tons of logic and consistency in wrestling. Anyway, Ian, back to you. Do you want to add to that conversation or bring up anything else?
My final point, and this might be a way too early to take, but Money in the Bank, we had 2 qualifying matches. We have Ricochet and Shinsuke in the match. I keep hearing talks of them bringing in Logan Paul and doing a Brock Lesnar, which he did. I think it was 2019 where he showed up at the last second and beat everyone in one. Who do you guys see winning Money in the Bank, and who do you see that winner going after, Roman or Seth?
Well, they dropped a hint tonight, which I liked, by the way, with Gunther going, hey, Matt Riddle, I hope you win Money in the Bank and you challenge me. That's a way to drop in there that, you know, the IC title is worth cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase for, too. Doesn't mean they'll do it. Doesn't mean it's the right move to do. But, and it doesn't mean it's the wrong move to do either. I'm not, like, taking a stance on that. But I like the idea that it takes this, that it adds that to the mix, because the more titles that someone could cash in the Money in the Bank for, especially the way Gunther has raised the prestige of the IC title at this point, although it's been diminished a little bit by the introduction of the new World Heavyweight title, that it adds potentially other potential winners in Money in the Bank. Because if you're just looking at opponents who would face Seth or opponents who Roman would possibly face, you can whittle down the list pretty quickly. But now if Gunther is an option, now there's some baby faces in Money in the Bank who you could imagine winning and deciding to cash in on Gunther. Javier, your thoughts on that? I have not narrowed down the possibilities yet. in my head, I mean, we're not that far away from Money in the Bank, but we're just coming out of a really busy weekend. So certainly my attention, I think a lot of people's will now shift to that, especially as we see the qualifying matches take place. Where are you? Do you have any early thoughts on winners and what you think of the Gunther Riddle thing that I just spoke of?
I mean, I would think the winner would likely most likely come from Raw, because I think that would be the easiest way to deal with it. Not that it really matters, because there's apparently no brand split with AJ Styles showing up today.
That's another topic we'll get to it later. Yeah. I thought they did a great job, and I think it is not worthy of criticism.
Well, I understand. It's just I kind of wish just like one day. Can we just have one day?
Well, I get that. Yeah, that's something like you can justify this one, but the fact that like it is sort of this ongoing pattern where I can have an excuse every week. But if you're ever going to break the rule, like this is how you do it. Don't ignore it. Address it. Have a good reason for it. We need a couple weeks without any crossover. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, the of the names that are involved, I mean, some of them haven't qualified yet. LA Knight is pretty much the one that stands out the most to me. Either someone from Raw or LA Knight would probably be where I'm at. The Riddle situation is interesting, but he could get his title shot without the Money in the Bank. So unless they really have no ideas for Money in the Bank, they're just going to blow it on that. So.
Yeah. Ian, anything else before we move on to other callers?
No, you guys go ahead and get to all your callers, man. You guys have a great night.
Great, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, thanks. All right, our number if you're joining us here midstream or have a thought on anything we've said so far, or want to make sure we talk about something we haven't yet, 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That'll play you on the switchboard. You can also email us at WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. All right, we'll go to William in San Diego next. William, welcome. Good to hear from you. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. I guess sticking with the qualifying matches, I was a bit surprised by the result of Bronson Reed versus Shinsuke. And, I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on it because, to me it seems like Bronson Reed is this new guy that you kind of want to invest in and build up as a big deal. And, not to be too harsh on Shinsuke, but I just don't feel like there's much left to milk from that cow, I guess is the way of putting it. He just seems past his prime and kind of cold, and I don't know that he really adds that much to being in the match, whereas I think you would have gained a lot more from putting Bronson Reed in that match. He would have gained from being in that match.
Yeah, I opened the show talking about being surprised, maybe a little surprised. Priest did lost the we'll mute William since his dog wants to be on the show, but I didn't understand what the dog was getting at. And call on your own cell phone, dog, and take your turn. Having Bronson lose to Nakamura surprised me, and that's why I was thinking of the count-out, too, because I'm like, oh, they're going to Bronson lose by count-out, and then they're going to claim that's not as bad as getting pinned, and then he just ended up getting pinned. I bet Bronson Reed was surprised. Not that he has any disrespect for Shinsuke Nakamura, but I bet Bronson was surprised when he got, told that finish. What do you think, Javier, of that?
Yeah, it feels like they're giving Shinsuke one more push. He's been it seems like with the one exception, and even then it was like it was understandable because he had to take the pin in that match. It feels like he's been protected and he's getting like something of a push for like one last run. I did like the way they handled the match where it just felt that it was the wily veteran in Shinsuke taking advantage of Bronson Reed, who otherwise was destroying him. I really like the fact that, he hit him with a Kinshasa in the back of the head, another Kinshasa. Bronson Reed rolled – I'm saying the right name, right? Yeah, yeah. I keep going back between him and Jonah. Bronson Reed rolled out, and then when he came in, he hit it with the third Kinshasa. So it wasn't like he got, buried or anything. He had to, take him out. And it was interesting because between this and Ricochet beating The Miz – if you're someone who's like trying to read the tea leaves on who's booking what, the fact that you got Ricochet over Miz and you had Shinsuke over Bronson Reed makes you think that Triple H is the one booking this part of the at least for this week. You know, because, you know, you would expect, you know, Miz, you know, with his history in Money in the Bank, always, you know, being more of a showman, and then instead you're putting in Ricochet and you're putting in Shinsuke for this. So, you know, I for one hope that Shinsuke gets one last good run out of it. And Bronson, I don't want to see too many more losses from Bronson Reed. I want to see him, like, start being used towards, you know, something, because he could, like I mentioned earlier, I think he could be one of the two big threats to one of two big realistic threats to Seth Rollins.
All right, William, we'll go back to you. If you want to pass along a question that your dog has for us too, you can.
I just wanted to clear my dog's name real quick. That wasn't my dog barking. That was the neighbor's dog who was trying to get himself over. My dog is actually being a good boy right now. So just wanted to clear his name.
Oh, I love it. I love it. By the way, speaking of dogs, I just discovered yesterday and again today that my 9 or 10 month old puppy, or I haven't done the math yet, is petrified of fireworks, and that's not good. I've never had a dog who's just scared, and he hears them. He was sleeping outside on the porch, and on the front step, and then fireworks shot off, and all of a sudden he's just standing at the door begging to come in. And I let him in, and he just runs into his kennel and hides in the very back. He wouldn't even need a treat. Poor guy. He's just so. I don't know if anyone has any tips on how to get a dog to not be scared of fireworks. Otherwise, it's going to be a rough 6 weeks for him. Man. So yeah, and life was just great. Everything was great, and suddenly people shoot off fireworks, and now it just he's absolutely beside himself with fear. I don't know what it's triggering, but.
Yeah. Not trying. I guess I'm gonna put my dog over again for a bit, but you know, I never had that issue with him. He always puts on a brave face for fireworks. Not that we get that many here, but you know, never had that issue. I guess I also want to talk about I guess your thoughts in general of this new Trish and Zoe Stark alliance, and
yeah,
you know, what your thoughts on what you've seen from Zoe these past few weeks on the main roster, and this new character development, what you thought of her promo tonight, and how they framed her as, you know, this new sidekick or lackey for Trish.
I would not, Javier, have picked or even predicted a Zoe-Trish alliance, but I think so far so good. It still feels like those aren't two people I would expect to be hanging out, but sometimes that can work. What do you think so far?
Yeah, I actually like the idea, because you know, if Trish is going to be around, basically pulling an AEW, pair somebody new with a nostalgia act, and you know, so they can get some of the rub off of it. So yeah, I like that idea. I do like, you know, the little bit of theme from Zoe Stark being partnered up with Trish. I liked. I've been a lot higher on Trish than I've heard in a lot of the podcasts. I actually, you know, have enjoyed her heel character, and yeah, I'm looking forward to see their interplay. I'm assuming that Lita might end up getting involved in this to make the sides even, you know, even for the time being. But you know, this gives Becky Lynch, you know, a new target on, you know, with Zoe Stark, and you know, it's going to be a test for her, because she's going to be in the ring with Becky Lynch and see what she can do. So, you know, I am looking forward to the potential. They basically opened a lot of fertile ground to tell stories by putting those two together, and I want to see where they go with that.
Yeah, I mean, it immediately gives Zoe someone to play off of and a legend who's to interact with. So it's just interesting. It's just, yeah, like I said, different than what you anticipate. And I don't think she did a bad job up to the point that she, you know, interfered on Trish's behalf and is now spending time on TV with her. But yeah, it's novel, and it gives her something different to work with than I thought she would have a week ago.
And again, if you're reading tea leaves, Zoe Stark was not obsequious to Trish. She flat out said, "Hey, I have stuff I can learn from her." you know, so it's not like, oh, you know, I've loved you so forever, so I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to be at your beck and call and stuff, which is something I could see, you know, them doing to Vince McMahon. This is more like a hey, you know, I respect what she's done, and I'm going to use her. I mean, she literally, Zoe Stark literally said, I'm going to use Trish to take a shortcut.
Yeah, yeah, good point. She's going, I could do it the hard way like Becky, or I can jump ahead and be smart about it. So, good point. All right, William, I will throw back to you. You can follow up or add something else.
Yeah, I guess, trying to read the tea leaves a little bit more, as Javier says. Where do you think they're going heading into Money in the Bank? We have the two qualifying matches, you know, next week, one with Becky, one with Zoe. Do you think the two of them will make it to the match and, you know, it'll be a situation where they just, just kind of like play out the story there and kind of cancel each other out, none of either of them winning the match, or do you think they have another, a different match planned for them for Money in the Bank? Maybe a Trish and Becky rematch, or I don't know, some kind of tag team with Lita coming back?
Well, first I need to know, now is your neighbor honking their horn because they want also to be on the show?
Yeah, they really, everyone's trying to get in on this right now.
Javier, what do you think of the women's Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I hope Lacey Evans wins the whole thing. No, as her name, I was like, oh wow, she's still around. But yeah, I think they'll end up both Zoe Stark and Becky Lynch end up in the Money in the Bank match, and they end up wiping each other out to opening the because they'll likely, particularly Becky Lynch, is going to look like, you know, the favorite to win, but then, you know, they cancel each other out and somebody who, because I mean, looking at the rest of the names on here, I think TBD would be the team who I have winning money, the women's Money in the Bank.
I haven't given enough thought to it to narrow down my prediction, William. I don't mean to cop out on it, but I really don't have any predictions quite yet. Catch me like in a week or two. How many weeks away is Money in the Bank?
It is on. Right here, July 1st. Money in the Bank, July 1st.
July 1st this year.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, I thought it was a ways off. That's why I've sort of been, you know, punting a little bit on thinking about it after a busy weekend. But yeah, once we see those qualifiers, then I think it's fair to, you know, once we see the full list of qualifiers, because we don't have the full list of qualifiers yet, right?
No. The only other matches we have is LA Knight versus Montez Ford. And Matt Riddle is going to be fighting someone next week, to be decided. And then on the women's side, we have Lacey Evans and Lena Vega are going to wrestle each other. And yes. Natalya and Zoe Stark are going to wrestle each other. And then Becky and Sonya are going to wrestle each other. So.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Like, especially after Nakamura beats Bronson. I mean, who's going to get in the prediction game right now? Because I wouldn't have seen that coming the way that I thought they were protecting Bronson. William, what else for us?
The new women's tag team champions. You mentioned it a few weeks ago. I don't know if it was on the flagship with Powell or another post show. They did kind of try to make a big deal of Ronda winning the tag belts with the pyro and the celebration and the backstage interview afterwards and. But, yeah, it's just kind of wild, you know, the contrast of how she came in. And it was like this huge deal of this former MMA superstar or megastar even coming into WWE and what a big deal it was. And now, you know, she's just kind of in the middle of the card on the random episode of Raw. It feels a little lackluster, like it doesn't feel like a big deal anymore. So I guess my question is, do you think they can ever – get back to a point where the Ronda Rousey brand in WWE means anything, or is as big of a deal as it used to be, or if, you know, this is kind of her ceiling, and not really due to anything WWE has done, but I think Ronda has a big share of the blame herself just because of her lacking skills on the mic and you know, some of the stuff when she came back from during the Royal Rumble last year, it was like she just lost a big step and seemed really uninterested. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think they can ever get back to something with her?
Yeah, it's interesting what they're doing with her. I was curious how, you know, I assumed they were going to win this match, and I was curious how they would frame things. And Ronda and Shayna, like Ronda playing off of Shayna, I think is helpful in terms of the dynamic between them, because sometimes Ronda, she even fell into it, where all of a sudden she just starts talking like 3 times faster than a normal human being. What in that situation? And it's just like it's coming to an end, and then Shayna can step in and restore a rhythm to the talking. And I mean, I'm not against her being with Shayna and in a tag division. Maybe it leads to a Ronda-Shayna feud a ways down the line, with one of them going babyface, preferably Shayna, I would guess. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, Ronda, I think the novelty is off enough, where now she's sort of got to earn her keep based on the merits of just what she does on the mic and in the ring, with in combination with her reputation. But the idea that, oh my God, it, you know, it's special attraction Ronda Rousey's going to have a match. I mean, that's her MMA career feels so far in the past now. She's just a WWE wrestler. So I'm kind of glad that she are willing to just have her sort of be another wrestler in the mix, earning her keep with what she does week after week, month after month. What do you think, Javier?
Yeah, it's kind of been my understanding, my feel that she's just uncomfortable being in the spotlight. Because I have heard that she requested to work with Shayna, and if that is more comfortable and that's how they can get the best use out of her, and I for one, if they can tap into what they tapped into the women's division back in NXT when it was Asuka and Baszler dominating, and if they can do that with the Rousey Baszler team and make us care about that group, I think it could be a lot of fun if they can bring that out. You know, but just like the men's division tag team is like, you know, in shambles, the women's, I think, is a little bit more, you know, because we've seen the women we've seen have been tagging for one, they have been getting somewhat of a spotlight, but I would definitely, you know, if they could heat up that division, I think it could be really fun having those two just, like, murder everybody.
Yes, yep. I'm going back to you.
I think that's everything I had. I'm trying to think, but I think that's all the questions I had for today. So, thank you guys for taking my call, and have a good week.
Cool, thank you. I appreciate it. I was going to hear from you, William. All right, let's move next to Sean from Tennessee. John from Murfreesboro, welcome. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
I'm going to put it in here. Wade and Javier, how's it going? It's a great Memorial Day. It's a pleasure to talk to you both on the same day. I'm always excited about that. You guys doing okay?
I'm doing great. Wade, we got to play his song, man.
Oh, okay. All right. I can do that. Let's do it. Let's pause here. And well, not pause, but let's pause our talking to play the song.
Let's go to Tennessee. We're talking to Sean. Let's go to Tennessee. We're talking to Sean. Talking to Sean. Talking to Sean in Tennessee.
All right. How you feel, Javier?
I'm so relaxed, Bob.
Me too. I do. Yeah. I really do. I laugh every time I hear it. I laugh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Me too. Me too. Oh man. Oh well. First, I wanted to say I'm glad William called back. I was kind of wondering where William was. We hadn't heard from him in a while. I was like, okay, where's he at? He's gonna be back at some point. And it's always good to hear from me. And like I said, I love hearing him on the 10 years ago and a lot of those calls. So that was always fun. But William. Dadgum, he took all my stuff. How can you do such a thing? Taking all my stuff. How could you? No, it's all good. I did want to say, going back to the show was good, by the way. I did want to say about Zoe, even that little promo that she got tonight, I really did actually like it. I think she sounded very confident. She didn't seem nervous, which I was kind of wondering how she'd be the first, like, kind of bigger promo she had. And I thought she did really well. Did you guys take anything from it? Like, I really did enjoy it. I thought the confidence was good from her. It was a very good start, I think, on where they're going with her.
Javier, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't do anything to turn me off, so that's good. And you know, and she did feel, you know, like you said, you know, just confident in what she was doing. The first couple of times that we saw her, I think it felt like it was a little bit too overconfident, you know. So and she kind of felt a little bit pushy the first, you know, when she her interaction with Candace and I think there might have been somebody else those two times, but this time where she had more to say and a longer period of time, and I think is this the first time she's talked in front of a crowd? It was fun. It was
main show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say too, and when you just brought up the qualifying matches, especially for the women, it shows you how the women, they haven't booked a lot of the women well at all. I mean, it's just like Becky will beat Sonya, we know that. But other than that, Wade, you kind of brought up you don't really know, and I'm kind of right. I mean, even though I'm assuming like Zelina would beat Lacey, but then you just don't know. Like they probably book Lacey to be some dominant champion or something. Like who the heck knows? I mean, they could do all kinds of weird things, but. The women's division, they just need to book it better, and that's why I'm kind of worried with Ronda and Shayna. Like, I was glad they won the titles, because I think if anybody can make the women's tag team titles feel somewhat relevant, it's them. But there's no good tag teams right now, and they just haven't done anything with them, so that's what I'm just kind of worried about. I hope they'll do something with them. I mean, the match tonight was just a kind of a bumbled mess. I don't like those four ways. It's kind of weird, but I mean, those matches never get me excited. But the one match we haven't talked about, which doesn't mean a whole lot in the whole scheme of things very much yet, but I just, like, with JD and Dolph, like, come on. Like, I know I understand they're doing the JD, like, just kind of wanting to get beat up Dolph, which, I mean, Todd's right. It's hard to mean much because Dolph doesn't mean anything. But have JD just beat Dolph in the match and then have him beat him up afterwards. Don't just have a double count out. Like, stop with this dumb stuff. Like, what did you think about that? I didn't care for that at all. Not a good ending.
I disagree with you, Sean. I mean, I don't feel like super strong, but I didn't mind it at all. The idea that JD just – or that that the Madonna cannot – like, he's – like, his intensity was so – what? Excuse me?
Just, like, keep his head, him not being able to keep his head.
Oh, keep – oh, gotcha.
Yep, like, JD not being able to keep his head, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like that, he's just like destroying Ziggler regardless of win or loss because he's just that tightly wound and out to prove something, you know, like, I think that's distinctive. I think beating him and then attacking him afterwards is sort of what they do all, you know, that's sort of the normal thing that they do. And this stood out more. And I think it makes his character, his personality, his trajectory more intriguing because it's like when, can he control this aspect of him because he's showing that he's dangerous and he's violent? Is there a way for him to control it in a way to then start productively winning matches?
Yeah, I'm kind of like halfway on that. I would have liked to have seen him to actually care, like maybe break the count and continue the beatdown. And then it was the beatdown be too severe. It's like, you know, we're going to call this off because you're not – you're using the stairs, you're using, you know, legal move, you know,
yeah.
It's never been illegal so per se, but like, you know, and then call it off in that way. But I would like to have seen him like at least keep that in mind and just, you know, and it's normally, it's weird because I normally don't make that argument. It's not used to my kind of argument, but it just felt like it might've been just because it was Ziggler, you know, and maybe if it were someone we actually cared about, mm-hmm. it would have mattered more.
Yeah. Yeah, it is dull.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
So, Javier, let me ask you: What do you think of McDonough? Just as someone getting this kind of push in TV time, do you think it can pay off?
I mean, it's too early to tell right now. And we did see that tease of Balor scouting him, so I'm assuming that he's going to get the. And I don't mean this to sound negative because it's usually has negative connotation, but I can see him have the Judgment Day crutch to help him with anything that he might need. So again, I don't mean to negatively, but you know, just being around a group might see like a different thing. Maybe do the Butch gimmick, but like not cartoony. If you know what I mean. You know,
yeah,
like some
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, then just going back to the Sammy KO, I think Sammy and KO are in a better spot. I think they're more – like the crowds are getting more into them again here the last couple weeks. The match obviously Saturday really helps because that was a good match and all that was great. And I'm so excited for Friday, guys. Like, I'm so ready for SmackDown. I really want to see what they're going to do. Like, I – oh, man, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But anyway, going back to tonight, the – when Sammy KO and KO was getting Chad to say the thing that made him chuckle, I thought that they were so good tonight. I just thought that was funny. KO and Sammy just have such a good chemistry together, and they just do a good job when they're talking. I'm always invested in what they're saying. And then, Wade, I was definitely more mad. Well, not saying you weren't mad, because you already brought it up that, you know, you wish it could have been a few more weeks. But it was really bad for AJ to just come right on Raw and just be like, we're gonna have a match. Like, and they did do the good job of talking about it right afterwards, so I was glad they did bring it up and talk about it, and Adam's like, okay, is this okay to do this? But still, don't do it. Like, wait a month or so and then maybe do something and throw, like, with somebody you don't care about as much or something, but don't just have AJ lose and come right on Raw the next week. It's just, you know, I just think you got to be better about that. If you're gonna have a hard roster split, do it, you know?
So, I get it, and I'm sympathetic to the frustration. Here's the thing. I am also sympathetic to the bookers and the writing team. I've talked to enough of them over the years about the challenge of having a worthy main event 52 weeks out of the year, and really 104 main events counting around SmackDown. They've got to come up with something. And so they sit around and like, well, we already did that, and we got to say that for the pay-per-view, and there's no storyline reason for that. And I sort of get how they're like, well, let's have Styles show up and acknowledge he's property of SmackDown. He's not there on official business. He just wanted to congratulate Seth and put him over for seeming to know every move he was going to do before he did it. And, you know, I have a little issue with saying you didn't deserve it, you earned it, because those are sort of like, they're not contradictory. If you earn something, you thus deserve it. So, you know me and, you know, word usage and grammar, I can't help myself. And I'm like, wait a second, this is not a thing that needs to be differentiated. So I think that's a little silly, you know, and because it's breaking a fourth wall. What it's saying is you don't deserve it because the bookers decided it. You earned it because the fans love you. Like, that's what they're going at. And, you know, that's also a pet peeve. Stop with that nonsense. Just stay within the narrative structure. But that said, with that little aside, and it's not a huge deal, but a little criticism, the idea that then, you know, Judgment Day come out and start yapping, and then they're like, hey, let's team up and beat you guys. And then they went to Adam Pearce, who's like, I know this goes against what we're doing, keeping Raw and SmackDown separate, but they want the match. Can we do it? And he's sort of stressing out about it. And so they addressed it. To me, in a way, and I know this, some people push back if I say this, it reinforced the roster split because the exception was something they drew attention to. And Adam Pearce had to talk to a higher authority that Seth Rollins was impressed with when he looked over his shoulder at his phone. They made a big deal out of just making it happen. Like, so that made it seem like, yeah, there are separate rosters, and if there's any exception, we really need to get permission to have an exception to it. So within this show, it made sense. I am sympathetic to needing a novel main event, and it gave them a tag match that they could, you know, headline with without having to give something else away that they're not ready for. But the answer to this now is don't do it for 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, like, really stay away from it, because, you know, Heyman's showing up just with or without a guest pass. You know, I mean, whatever. At least he had a guest pass. But, you know, don't have an excuse every week for someone from the other brand to show up on that brand. Now, we can't hold against them when tag champs women or men are floating between brands. That's allowed. And we give a little wiggle room if you're a close affiliate or associate of them, as happened with the Bloodline. But I am ready for, I think everybody is like, all right, we've had our fun. Now let's do a hard split. Javier, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, my only concern is now we have Money in the Bank coming up, and we're going to have members from, in one match, members from both rosters. So at some point before in the build up to that, we're going to see them cross over again.
You
made a good point. Yeah, and you were good for, I mean, and that's what I said. That's why I liked that they at least brought it up and said, okay, is this okay to do this? And he was, you know, apparently they're like, yeah, it's fine. And it, So I like that they did it. I just wish the first 2 days they just wouldn't go to it that quickly. I just, you know, that's my only thing. Like, it's fine if they, before they would never even talk about it, and that's why I'm glad they're at least bringing it up now and at least making it like, okay, is it okay to do this? Or can we go through with it? Whatever. And then, you know, AJ's like, yeah, let's do it, you know, whatever.
For the record, on the whole thing, for the whole thing, when I saw it come out, when AJ Styles first came out, I was like, you know, legit, I'm like, what, really? We're going to do this? And then, you know, after all the explanations, I softened enough where I'm just like, you know, now I'm more jokey, like, you know, hey, come on, guys, let's just stop this, you know, it's fine you did it, but let's stop.
Right.
You know, so I'm not like, you know, I'm not like, you know, like angry, let's do it. But I'm like, if next week we have another, again, tag team's exception, you know, if we have another, you know, Seth Rollins shows up, that, you know, come on.
Yep.
What'd you guys think about the Ricochet Miz match? I really, like, I figured Ricochet was going to win, and that was fine because Ricochet is awesome in Money in the Bank ladder matches, but I thought Miz is, you know, here these last few matches, he's really going out and doing some cool things. I thought the match was really good, so I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that. And he doesn't have a chance to win Money in the Bank, I don't think. I mean, I wouldn't assume they would give him that big of a, you know, big of a distinction. But, I mean, at least they're, you know, giving him some wins, and that's good. He's at least on a better track than he was, you know, when he first came into the onto the main roster. But what did you guys think of the match, and, you know, where do you think they're going with that? And I appreciate Javier. Thank you for letting me have the song. I laughed the whole time. I laugh every time the song comes on. I just start laughing. I don't know why. It's just funny to me. Wade, like I said, thank you for all you guys did this weekend. I just really enjoyed. I got to listen to the Night of Champions one. I haven't listened to that one, but everything else was fantastic. I enjoyed all of it. So go VFP, and thank you guys for taking my call, as always.
Great. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Always good hearing from you. This always happens. He always brings up a topic, then he does his sign-off, and then I forget what the topic was. What was his last point?
Miz. Miz had a bunch of good matches. I have the same thought that I'm wondering if it's like a rib on him that they're making him actually wrestle. Because, I mean, he had a really good match with Seth Rollins, a good match with Shinsuke, and now a good match with Ricochet. And as I mentioned, I was surprised because, you know, The Miz is always – it's almost like his signature match because it's always a threat that he might get Money in the Bank. You know, so I thought that it was a good – you know, and then, you know, him basically cut promos for the next 4 weeks talking about, like, you know, he's going to win it and then he's going to cash it in and become, you know – whatever number time, you know, champion. I was worried about that. So the fact that Ricochet won it increases, you know, the cool stuff we're going to see in the match. So,
yeah. Where's Miz right now? Like, is he just, he's going to be a talker and he's going to be a guy who helps put other people over and that's fine. I mean, that I think is where he should be at this stage. I think he's probably totally fine with being at that stage. The days of anything else is, it seems like it's in the past. I don't think you can rev him up as a serious guy anymore, even though he did show some intensity early on with Ricochet, where I was like, is he trying to send a message like, hey, don't, I'm not just soft style. I can be intense too.
You know, I mean his body was bruised at the end of the match, you know, which I don't think I've ever seen from Miz. I thought of a handful of matches, but I think that right now they're just going to use him to get over and, you know, get other wrestlers over. And I think he's going to have some, you know, the match he's going to have, he's going to build a work. So then maybe get one semi, you know, serious push of like, hey, look, I look at what I've accomplished, and get some sort of serious push to what, I don't know. But, you know, I'm not saying that he's going to be, you know, necessarily wrestling, you know, Seth Rollins for the title, but I think they're, you know, he's getting people over, but at the same time also putting together some good matches.
Yep. Very good. Javier, what else on tonight's show jumped out to you, if anything?
You're not going to play the music while I read my notes, right?
No, I got to save that. That's a fixed exclusive.
Okie doke.
I might edit out the pause and post that. But no one knows.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of the dialogue to open the show with Balor, the whole, you know, oh, I'm vomiting and stuff. That felt so unrealistic. that it, you know, like mind-numbingly so. I don't know what to make of Graves with his interaction with Kevin Patrick, because it just, you know, like there's a moment where he's talking about Ricochet. He talks about, you know, like how he defies the laws of physics. Isaac Newton would be what, you know, he mentioned Isaac Newton, and Graves gets all pissed off because, like, you're making an Isaac Newton reference in 2023, and I'm like. And I'm like, dude, it's not like you mentioned Vanilla Ice, you know, this, you know, someone who's like, you know, one of the fathers of physics. I mean, come on. You know, and it felt like unnecessary.
Corey sometimes just, yeah. Yeah, looks for excuses.
And for some reason he seemed to be in a foul mood because he also was like pretty pissy after which I thought was great, the commentary by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Remind me.
Dave basically just called the entire match, and like Kevin Patrick and Corey Graves for the most part, you know, sat back, and it was just. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens riffing on what was going on in the match. I think Kevin Patrick made a mystery, or might have been Corey Graves made a mystery science what's the name of the show?
Mystery Science Theater, and he goes, yeah, it's a U.S. thing, yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't know what he was talking about. So, yeah, and they just basically talked the entire thing, and I kind of liked that they laid off for the most part and let just, you know, Sammy and Kevin Owens just like run. And I am really enjoying the Kevin Owens gimmick of like, he's done with the meta of the WWE.
Yeah.
You know, yep. And he's just like over it. And like, you know, just, you know, I mean, normally when like the break, you kind of, you know, it's just, breaking the fourth wall, and it's like, you know, every now and then, like a TV show, like Supernatural. I don't know if you ever, you know, followed it or knew about it, but at one point in Supernatural, they meet a character who's actually writing their stories and novels and stuff, and like pointing out all the, you know, all the tropes from the show. And I just love Kevin Owens being that guy saying, you know, why are you coming out? You nobody said your name. That's not how it works. And like getting legitimately upset when like the tropes of WWE are broken. It's been you know, fun to see him do that. And I think we talked about in the sheer, and yeah, I think it's about it.
Yeah. We got an email about the Nakamura Bronson thing from Chris from Ratliff City. He goes, hey, wait, Javier, I haven't caught up on my weekend of wrestling since I've been gone this weekend, but I have been keeping up on podcasts during the weekend, so I want to say thank you. I'm curious for your thoughts on the Nakamura-Bronson rematch. I'm curious why you would have a veteran go over on Reed. As always, go VIP. I'm just going back to that for a second. Does it hurt Reed to lose to Nakamura, or is it okay because Nakamura is a legend and, you know, it's not going to be remembered as long as Nakamura doesn't just get buried, you know, like, you know, lose where it's like, whoa, Reed lost to that guy. Or is this a momentum stopper for Reed? And not that he's just, you know, not that he had like this, you know, undefeated streak that we're building up like, you know, Jade Cargill or something, or Goldberg or something, but just what kind of damage is done, or how much of a setback is that?
No, when I saw the match, I was like intrigued, it's hard for me to get intrigued in a WWE match because you kind of know who's going to win, or you know, or someone's going to be protected. But they were both they're both protected. I mean, I'm going to set aside the match that Shinsuke had to take the pin in that three way. Setting that aside, it has felt like he, you know, he's been ever since he came back, the spotlight on him has been brighter. So seeing that, and then Bronson Reed, who's the spotlight hasn't been necessarily on him, but he's been involved in some stuff where he hasn't been a joke. So I'm like, it was one of those situations where like you going into that match, I did not know who was going to go over. And, you know, and barring, you know, any outside interference, I was waiting to see who Shinsuke, you know, Shinsuke lost, I was expecting to see, waiting to see who was going to interfere in the match to start a new program with him. You know, the stuff that WWE usually does. But I really liked the match because it was psychologically strong where, they put over Jonah in terms of like how strong he was and Shinsuke sold his ass off for him when he was taking those, the Swanton, not Swanton, but the standing one, but you know what I mean? You know, he's doing like the power, the moves and landing on Shinsuke. Shinsuke was like, oh, he looked like he was dying. Mm-hmm. And it required Shinsuke, hitting him, as he was coming out through the ropes, hits him in the head to stun him. And commentary did a good job of pointing out those facts that Shinsuke was, outmaneuvered, ended up having to use his, his smarts, his veteran status to outmaneuver him. And then, like I said, it took him three, didn't call one of them a Kinshasa, but basically took him three Kinshasas to take out Bronson Reed. And, and I don't think it hurt Bronson Reed, because it felt like it was a 50-50 match. And had Bronson been able to catch Nakamura, he could have beaten him, So I thought it was a well-done mm-hmm. match. I don't think it hurt Bronson Reed as long as you don't, if you see the same team lose over and over again, then you're going to lose faith in it. So I don't think it hurt him. And since he's not really involved in a program, he takes a week off, comes back, kill somebody, and then he's back up to, on the way up.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll read one more email, and then I did mention to you before the show that I was going to cut a little shorter than usual. But this is Julian from London who says, can you please explain Seth Rollins to me? I don't understand why people are excited to have him as a new champion. He feels so stale. There's barely a match involving Seth that I haven't seen already after his 11 years on the main roster. He'll never feel like the biggest star in the company, and instantly it makes the new championship seem lesser than. Laughing maniacally and having a catchy song is not the same thing as having a character. I know the fans love singing the song, but I don't believe that translates to them caring if he wins or loses. I do like Rollins. What? No, you don't. And he always delivers in the ring. No, I get it, what he's saying. But it feels like his best role at the moment is getting over new stars, as he did successfully with Cody. What am I missing? So, where are you on this? And what'd you think of him, coming out through the crowd and just the way that he was introduced? Did it help, or is it just sort of more of the same? And do you think some of Julian's points should be something WWE is cognizant of that might be the feeling out there that there is a surface level enjoyment of his song, but there's something still overly familiar about, sort of a been there, done that, we've seen everything from him vibe to his career at this point.
I would equate him to Eddie Edwards in Impact as the stalwart guy that you can go to when you need to, tread water, basically. I don't think with what they've done with Seth Rollins, he's going to like be on the same level as Roman, or anyone like that. But I think that by giving him the title, and if he puts out some really great matches with, kind of off to a rocky start, because you would think that AJ Styles would have been one of those. And while it was not a bad match, it never felt like it reached 4-star status, which I was hoping for. But like, if he has a really good match with Shinsuke, has a really good match with Shinsuke, has a good, really good match with Balor, has a good, really good match with Damian Priest, and he puts up a lot of good matches. When somebody finally beats him, that would be the big guy. That would be the, like if Gunther beats him after after Seth Rollins has built some equity, with entertaining matches, and Gunther beats him, then that Gunther will be the one who elevates the title. It's not the best situation all worlds, because he just basically essentially, created an obvious secondary title, because, Reigns is the real champion.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Very good. Javier, we can wrap up there if you're okay with it.
Well, I do have to catch one thing, because my brother texted me that he wanted to give you a hard time. What's the plural for goose?
What's a geese?
Yeah, you said geese. You said gooses several times on the.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. On the we're talking about the goose
okay,
game.
Is gooses an acceptable plural?
I already researched it, Wade. It is acceptable when you're actually referring to, like, if you say, "Oh, my child is a silly goose. My children are silly gooses." That's the only time you could actually say it. But you were saying it as in like the gooses were pooping all over the lake. That would be cute.
So you understand that it's really rude and unbecoming to point out people's grammar mistakes and like it's never cool.
Yeah, absolutely. For those people who don't listen to the fix.
Or read my reports. Yes. Cool. Javier, thank you. It's been a pleasure, as always, having you on to talk wrestling. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. Hey, you kind of messed with me. I feel a little bit better now. I still feel guilty over the WrestleMania situation. So.
Yeah. Well, if it's any consolation, my phone spoiled like what you spoiled for me in alerts. So there's no avoiding it tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, I understand. All right, cool. Oh, good. What? Oh, yeah, you have a good night, too. Thanks, Javier. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you right here on the post show Wednesday after Dynamite.